As we continue our study in the book of Joshua today, I would like to encourage you to read the second chapter of the book of Joshua, verses 1 through 24, without interruption, as soon as you have time. This is the story which is very familiar to you. I suppose, as almost any story in the Word of God, because the story of Rahab the harlot has been taught again and again in Bible classes and in Sunday school classes and so forth, and certainly references to Rahab the harlot are made in other places in the Word of God. Now, if I were to ask some of you to share with me some of the things you have learned from the reading of this chapter, I wonder what you would say. As you read the chapter, what crossed your mind? What spiritual lessons came to you? What spiritual truth did you notice? Perhaps you noticed some. Perhaps you noticed very little. Perhaps you noticed none. The reason I am approaching the subject in this manner is to suggest to you that only as we learn the lessons which are related to this chapter will we be able to defeat the suggestion that I made to you at the very beginning of our discussion, namely that ordinarily speaking, all you would find in the book of Joshua is a lesson in geography. But spiritually speaking, we want to re-emphasize, you will find a great many truths. And so, I want to suggest to you that in this chapter, as we are going to find some lessons for the saints of God, you will find some marvelous lessons indeed for you. Some of the lessons related to the saints you will have already learned. You may not have put them into practice, but you've learned them. Others of them you may not have learned, but as we think together, our thinking directed by the Holy Spirit, the thoughts will come to you. However, this is not all we will learn in this chapter, because we are going to learn lessons not only related to the saints of God, we're going to learn lessons about salvation, which we should share with others as well. You are well aware of the fact that some people feel that the approach of God to man in the Old Testament is different from the approach of God to man in the New Testament. But that isn't true. The salvation story runs like a scarlet thread which Rahab hung in her window from the first book of the Bible to the last, so that there is a divine consistency which thrills our hearts to recognize, knowing that the Word of God is actually authored by the Holy Spirit of God, regardless of whom the human author might actually be. Now, I would like to begin to suggest some of the lessons contained in this chapter for the saints of God. The first lesson that I'm going to suggest to you is one that I am going to describe by the word reconnaissance. Now, this word reconnaissance is not a word that we use every day. You see more of it, I suppose, in this generation than you have in other generations because of the wars in which we have been engaged for so long. But lest you do not know what we have in mind when we use the word reconnaissance, we would like to suggest to you that the word simply means or refers to an examination of a given territory for the purpose of gaining information concerning the enemy. Now, let me say that to you again. Reconnaissance refers to an examination of a given territory for the purpose of gaining information concerning the enemy. Now, this reconnaissance to which we refer is brought to our minds in the first verse of this chapter, Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went, and came to a harlot's house named Rahab, and lodged there. Reconnaissance. Of what particular value is this fact to us from a spiritual standpoint? Well, let me suggest to you, as I ask you to turn to the first epistle of Peter, chapter 5, that just as certainly as the children of Israel were going into enemy territory and would be besieged on every hand, So you and I, at the present time, are traveling through enemy territory that is under the direction of an individual who is as opposed to us as the king of Jericho was to Joshua and his people. Bible scholars who draw a parallel between studies of the book of Joshua and Christian progress are quick to remind us that the king of Jericho is an excellent symbol of Satan himself, and we would be quick to agree with that. That's why I have asked you to turn to the first epistle of Peter, chapter 5, where you notice the familiar verse recorded in verse 8. Peter says to all of us as Christians, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Yes, the devil is the prince and the power of the air, and he is walking about, seeking whom he may devour. It was not a lack of faith that caused Joshua to send these two spies into the land of Canaan. It was a matter of wisdom, because he knew that across the Jordan, the king of Jericho would be going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he might devour. That being true, he wanted to know everything that he was going to do so that when he crossed the Jordan, he would know what to expect. I'm going to suggest to you, my friend, that all too many of us presume upon the faithfulness of God. I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. Now, what I'm talking about, when I'm talking about the devil's activity that could lead us to presume upon the faithfulness of God, is illustrated in this chapter. The Israelites could have said, "Now God promised to give us this land. All we need to do is cross the Jordan and it will be ours." Many believers today, because they acknowledge the security of the believer, fail to recognize that the battle between here and heaven is a rough one, that they are going to have constant contact with the enemy of their souls. And failing to realize that, they lead a constant life of defeat. If they depended on spiritual reconnaissance, this would not be true. Will you go back to the book of Joshua and notice what happened in the second verse of the second chapter? "It was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." Now, in that one verse is packed a tremendous amount of truth. It suggests to me that the king of Jericho had an intelligence service that was second to none, an intelligence service that could not be superseded, because these two men went into the land secretly, had hardly hit the city of Jericho before the king in the palace knew that they were there. Now you recognize that the arch enemy of our souls, the devil, is not omniscient as God is omniscient. You do realize God is omniscient. I mean by that God knows everything there is to know. He knows your thoughts afar off. He knows your down sitting and your uprising. But the devil does not. He is not omniscient. And because the devil is not omniscient, a great many people think, well, there is a lot of things that the devil doesn't know. But I would like to remind you today that the devil has an intelligence service that is second to none, because there are myriads of demons that are in the employ of Satan, and these demons are everywhere. Not in the sense that God is everywhere, but the demons are scattered about everywhere, and they are quick to report to Satan everything that he needs to know to bring about your downfall. I would suggest to you that the lesson, basically, we should learn from the spies visiting the land of Canaan is the need for reconnaissance on the part of the Christian to be aware of the devices of the devil. The Apostle Paul emphasized this truth, you will remember, saying he himself was not ignorant of the devices of Satan. he was not ignorant of the wiles of the devil, nor did he have some special revelation from God that nobody else had. Was he especially favored in some such revelation? I beg you to examine his life in the Scripture, and you will find that though he was an apostle, born out of due time, and did have an unusual relationship to God, different from that of ordinary men, there is no indication in the Scripture that he had any kind, special kind, of revelation about the power of the devil. Now, if he knew about it, he must have practiced reconnaissance. He must have practiced an examination of the enemy territory to gain information for the battle in which he was engaged. Perhaps you are wondering how you might practice this matter of reconnaissance. I would suggest to you one simple method, and that is, be quick to discern good and evil. Be quick to discern good and evil. Perhaps you're saying, well, that's interesting, but how will I be able to do that? Well, I'm going to suggest you keep a marker here in the book of Joshua and turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, where the author to the book of Hebrews deals with this very subject. In chapter 5, he told these Hebrew believers that he wanted to tell them a number of things. Oh, he had so many deep, wonderful things to tell them, but he just wasn't able to tell them. No, it wasn't because they had not studied the Word. It wasn't because he didn't have his lesson prepared, but it was because he knew they would never be able to understand what he was talking about, and so he wasn't going to tell them. And he said, the reason is you haven't progressed in your Christian experience as you ought to progress. He describes that fact in the 5th chapter of the Hebrew letter and the 12th verse. And we're going to look at that when we gather together again for our next broadcast, how it is we might discern good and evil.